come on in and spend some time with the film hobbyist. My name is Lydia, and I love movies. We're sitting here in my attic room. There are craft supplies all over the floor. A large packet of thin markers. A stack of colored papers. The paper confetti and kid scissors that mark a good project. My kids were up here with me today. Being a parent, being around kids all day, every day, means having the same conversations over and over again. It's important that you treat each other with respect, as if the other person is someone who matters. If someone is annoying you, ask them to please stop. Ask them calmly first, then quietly but firmly, and then you come get a grown-up. But you need to talk to them first before you come to me. And did that choice make the fight bigger or smaller? It can be pretty exhausting, but then I'm often reminded of how few grown-ups ever learned these things, either because a grown-up never taught them or because they refused to listen. And I have to believe that it will be worth it, that my kids will hopefully learn conflict management and how to live at peace with others, so far as it depends on them. Today, I'm going to be talking about a film that debuted on Netflix last year, Rebel Ridge, directed by Jeremy Saulnier, a very skilled filmmaker with a particular reputation, one that actually kept me away from this movie for a few months. I watch a lot of movies of all kinds. I read about even more. And I've started to identify certain words, certain descriptors that indicate when a movie is not my cup of tea. One of those is bleak. Bleak movies stick to me. I find I can't shake them for days after, and it's a real struggle to go about my life. It often affects my mood and even my mental health. This isn't to say I avoid movies that deal with tough topics. Far from it. I actually really love movies that are honest about the realities of suffering in the world, of pain and difficulty. But I need a crack of hope. I need a breath of catharsis. I need a sense of purpose in my pain. Jeremy Saulnier is known for making high-quality, bleak thrillers. His biggest hit was a movie called Green Room, one that contains reportedly phenomenal performances from Patrick Stewart and the late Anton Yelchin, and is an incredibly tense, bleak film straddling the horror-thriller line. It's one of those stories where people are horrifying, and the terrible things they will do to each other are the nightmare that traps the protagonist and his unlucky punk band. I have heard only praise about this film. I've read reviews, I've watched video essays, and I know that actually watching the movie would be very bad for me. So I didn't watch Rebel Ridge when it came out. I kept hearing very good things as it made a little splash on Netflix, building week after week as one of the most watched films on the platform. But I kept reminding myself that Jeremy Saulnier does not write movies that are good for my mental health. What changed my mind was this pitch. What if Rambo in First Blood was committed to non-lethal tactics? I love action movies. If you visited me back in March, you'll have heard me wax eloquent about my love for Raiders of the Lost Ark, an action-adventure movie. I'm also one of those people who thinks Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and it's part of my yearly tradition. Action is a cozy genre for me. If I'm having a bad day, there's nothing better than curling up with a movie where a dude is going to solve his problems by shooting or punching another dude in a particularly skilled or inventive way. It's probably the catharsis talking. But I'm highly aware that there's a level of personal cognitive dissonance here. John McClane, from Die Hard, is the kind of cop that should not be a cop. Like, he genuinely should have been fired years ago. He is way too quick to pull his gun. He literally kills first, asks questions later. I might have a lot of fun watching him solve problems, think on his feet, and blow up a whole floor of a building in order to get the police to take his situation seriously, but I have to acknowledge that he's reckless in a way that would make me very concerned in real life. While I do not believe action movies cause violence, I do have to wonder at how desensitized we are to violence and violent images. And I also have to question how they shape the capacity of our imaginations for how to solve problems. So, what if we could take the catharsis of an action movie, of watching a skilled individual solve problems in an inventive way, but use it to challenge our imagination? What if we could use the language of a film genre to simultaneously satisfy the desires of its audience and question the very pillars of that genre? Here's the setup for Rebel Ridge. In the first scene, we are introduced to Terry Richmond, a black man traveling down a rural Louisiana highway on a bicycle. He is listening to rock music on headphones. This is considered a safety hazard by most cycling experts, but as he isn't wearing a helmet, he's not exactly doing the safety thing. Behind him is a police cruiser flashing his lights. It isn't clear if the siren is on, nor how long the cruiser has been following him. But Terry is purposefully clipped by the vehicle and sent sprawling. The cop emerges with his gun drawn and demands that Terry lay flat on the ground, hands spread wide. According to the cop, he'd been following Terry for 2 miles, and Terry is considered to be fleeing an arrest, despite Terry's insistence that he hadn't heard the sirens or seen the lights. Terry is at first defensive, then drops his tone to be calm and clear. Another cop shows up in his car and threatens to tase Terry. According to the cops, they had a report of a stolen bike, which is their stated reason for pulling him over. Terry asks to see the report of the bike. The cops deflect, insisting it doesn't matter since he fled. They proceed to search his backpack, all the while harassing him, trying to prompt a reaction from him. They find a plastic bag inside, which Terry at first denies permission for them to examine, then agrees when he realizes he would be delayed for several hours otherwise. Inside is $36,000 in cash. Terry explains it is to post bail for his cousin and buy a pickup truck so they can work together. He admits his cousin is in prison on a drug charge, and the cops declare that since the money is affiliated with drugs, they are confiscating it via civil forfeiture. We have our hero who, while reckless in his bike driving, is quiet, polite, clear, direct, and level-headed in a very tense interaction and is clearly being held up unjustly by some cops who are very happy to inflict as much pain and misery on him as they can, looking for every excuse to make his life miserable. We don't know exactly what's going on. We know that it smells. As a film audience, we understand what this setup means. This is the beginning of tension that will find its release in violence. We are given a promise. These guys messed with the wrong dude, and he will get back at them. We have been taught this in so many films. We have seen this scenario before. Quite literally. As I mentioned earlier, Rebel Ridge is very much in conversation with 1982's First Blood, the original appearance of John Rambo. It's funny. Rambo is a character with a specific reputation, the star of intensely violent and jingoistic films about the slaughtering of faceless commie bad guys from all over the world by the ultimate killing machine. But his first film is entirely different. A more grounded story of a troubled Vietnam vet going against a bunch of good old boy cops in a small Oregon town. In the beginning of First Blood, we get a scene of context of Rambo trying to meet up with an old war buddy, only to find out he died of cancer as a result of being exposed to Agent Orange. And then we meet him walking into town. He's spotted by the local sheriff, who seems to know everyone by name. The sheriff picks him up in his car and offers to drive him through to the other side of town. Rambo is at first pleased with the gesture. He asks if they could stop to get a bite to eat. The sheriff refuses, saying drifters aren't welcome here, and Rambo needs to walk 31 miles up the road. He drops him at the edge of town and tells him to keep going. And then Rambo turns back around, pops his collar, and begins to walk back into town, accompanied by the swell of intensely defiant music. And in First Blood, this scene is a promise that there will be retribution. That this smarmy cop will not get away with disrespecting a former Green Beret. And he doesn't. In that film, they keep pushing and pushing him until he ends up taking them down one at a time in the forest, using guns and knives, a spike trap, a garrote, and a well-thrown rock. I heard one person describe that scene as him becoming Batman. Which is funny, because Batman as a character is theoretically committed to not killing others. Of course, in most of his film depictions, the people would definitely be dying off-screen. Burton's Batman drops goons from tall buildings, Nolan's flips cars, Snyder's brands his enemies, knowing this will get them killed in prison. Pattinson's Batman goes through a journey of questioning his methods, of whether violence really makes anyone a hero, but he's only gotten one movie so far, and it's not exactly sure how his character will progress. What is certain is that we assume Terry Richmond will be another John Rambo. He's a veteran, a Marine who is clear, confident, and unshaken in a completely unjust circumstance. We want him to teach these power-tripping, possibly racist cops an amazing lesson. And he does. It's just in a different way than we were expecting. First, Terry always tries to talk through the conflict. His voice is low and quiet. He sometimes gets defensive. He is human, and he is definitely being put through the ringer, but he always takes a beat after to calm down. He speaks very directly and reasonably, laying out as much of the information as is necessary to get things done. When one plan falls through, he plans an alternate, a different way of solving his problem. When that fails, he searches for a contingency, another, albeit more complicated, way to accomplish his goals. And only when that falls through does he fight back. Terry is skilled in martial arts. His service in the Marines was specifically to train his fellow men in martial arts techniques for close quarters combat. But when he begins to fight, he does so only to disarm. He takes a gun by the barrel, twists it away, and empties it before his antagonist, another good old boy sheriff, can even blink. He is not interested in wounding. He is interested in disarming. And it rules! My husband was in the room working on something else when this scene played, and he dropped everything to watch Terry Richmond skillfully and inventively disarm and dismantle every threat against him. It is perfect, fist-pumping, enthusiastic, yelling action movie catharsis. And everybody is alive at the end of this scene. Everybody's still breathing. Nobody even has to go to the hospital. But Terry has given them the opportunity to understand exactly who he is and what he is capable of. This physical encounter is not the last. The plot has many places to twist and turn before the story ends, including the ridge of the title. But in all of his conflicts, Terry remains committed to making the fight smaller and not bigger. He always tries to talk first, disarm second, and give an opportunity for conflict resolution before jumping to violence. And as that violence escalates, which it does, he remains committed to non-lethal methods. Clever, inventive, useful ones. Using a threat instead of a gunshot. Beanbag rounds instead of a shotgun. There is variety here in the action, in the conflicts, in a way that is never boring and is always badass. And I think that's really important. De-escalation, nonviolent methods, and non-lethal efforts are seen in our culture as boring and deeply uncool, as well as ineffectual. I remember when the idea of having a separate mental health intervention hotline became a cultural talking point, as well as de-escalation training for cops, and how quickly it became a joke. Particularly a viral meme of two cops laughing as a social worker tries to talk down someone having a mental health crisis. De-escalation, the idea goes, is what idiots do. It's what cowards do. Heroes solve the problem quickly and forcibly. And that word hero is important. That's what many cops want to be, and a very specific kind of hero. An action hero. John McClane. Rambo. One of the 500 law enforcement officers played by Arnold Schwarzenegger over his long film career. We have the dash cam and body cam footage to prove it. Cops starting car chases they don't need to. In one video I've seen, a cop heard a car backfire and did an action movie ground roll before shooting at the vehicle in which a suspect was handcuffed, laying on his back like so many action heroes had done before him. So I think it's really, really important to tell a different kind of story. To have Terry Richmond solving his problems with as little pain and as little bloodshed as possible, but with all the awesomeness and filmic catharsis of the best action movies. In 1982, Sylvester Stallone set the tone of 80s action movies as an ultra-violent killing machine who went from challenging good old boy cops to slaughtering whatever brand of communist bad guy made the most sense. We got an ultra-violent hero who solved his problems with skilled and clever violence. And now we have this amazing opportunity for something else. To set the tone of action movies where heroes try to solve the problem with words and then targeted non-lethal action. And it really seems like that might happen. I mentioned earlier how live-action depictions of Batman talk a good deal about not killing people, while people are definitely dying off-screen because of his actions, and how it's possible that Pattinson's Batman may wrestle with this. While I don't know if Rebel Ridge will have a specific impact on Batman, it is going to impact superhero action films. 1 month after this movie's debut on Netflix, Aaron Pierre, the actor who fully brings to life Terry Richmond's quiet, calm, direct manner of problem solving, was cast as Green Lantern. It's clearly too soon to say that Pierre's Jon Stewart will follow the non-lethal methods of Terry Richmond, but it's a possibility. And I can't help but be excited about a new kind of action catharsis, where heroes treat their opponents with respect, as if they are people who matter. Where they use their words to communicate boundaries quietly, but firmly. And where they use their skills to cleverly make all of their fights smaller, not bigger. Thanks for coming.